Hey there, welcome back to the Field Trip Podcast. My name is Brent Terhune, and joining me on this episode is none other than Tabari McCoy.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
We are in the, I guess, green room of the University of Kentucky. For the whole university, this is the green room.
I know, and I like how in the bluegrass state, everything I've seen is incredibly blue. And then they put green simulated grass carpet.
Yeah, I almost have to get the lawnmower out. So this is post-show after our fantastic show at
our
UK.
Our illustrious show. Attended by dozens.
So I wanted to talk to you because I was on the way here to Lexington, I stopped at a toy store, and yes. I know you're into toys. And I was like, I'm going to tell Tabari about this place. And then I saw you after the show because I got here right as it started. And you were like, dude, I stopped at the toy store that you were at today. So it was perfect. It's a good setup. Yes.
And I like the way that you said that because I'm like, he's married, so he can say that without making me. And I was like, oh, wait a second. Now I do sound as sad as that sound is. It's like, yay, I want to tell him about this toy store. And he's going to get there. And then he was already there.
Yeah.
Like, yes, for everything grown about me, there's something equally, I would say, youthfully spirited. And mm-hmm. I do have a collection of fantastic plastic. And as someone who enjoys professional wrestling, I'm not trying to do bits, but I know why I'm single. Anyhow, I went there because they do have a large collection of WWE action figures, mm-hmm. Some Funko Pops. I know that you said you were there buying some heavy metal action figures.
Yeah, I bought I ended up leaving with the Metallica. There was McFarlane Toys mm-hmm. put out it's each individual band member. And I'd seen them for a while at the price, and I paid actually lower than what they've been going for. And it's one of those where it's, you see stuff every once in a while, but you don't necessarily want to spend the money right then.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see it enough, and you're like, I'm just going to buy this.
Yep.
So that's what I left with. Did you leave with anything?
I did. My wallet and all the cash I came with because I was trying to be good. I saw a couple things. There was a Peggy Bundy Funko Pop Chase figure, and I love the show Married with Children.
Mm-hmm.
I love Married with Children, man. And I saw that, and I was like, ooh. And then I was like, I should be all right. So let me be better. Let me not spend the money because my money is funnier than my act right now. So I was like, and I'm out of space because I've been collecting for over 3 decades.
Yeah.
So I just have like a plethora of stuff, and I was like, I looked at it, and I was like, Tabari, is this Peggy Bundy Funko Pop Chase figure gonna fill a need in your soul? And I was like, no, it's just gonna fill a space in my basement. And I said, if I knew Katie Sagal was doing an autograph signing, mm-hmm. I would have got it. But I was like, nah, man, save that $14.
Yeah,
it's always next time.
Now, does that mean you have the Al Bundy Funko Pop then?
No, I do not have the Al. And if I was going to get if I got them, I would get them all to get autographed because mm-hmm. I have a huge autograph collection. Because I have a belief that everybody spends money on something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my uncles, they are very good DIY guys. They mm-hmm. are very good do-it-yourselfers. My mom gardens. She has a green thumb. And I have sneakers and action figures and autographs of people much more famous than I keep waiting. My dream one day is to have an athlete go, ain't you that one comedian? I'm like, yes, will you sign my baseball? Like,
yeah.
I'm waiting for like that moment. Like, I'm hoping that happens one day. That has not happened yet. The only thing that's come close is that like Red Security be like, oh, you that one comedian. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what's the comedian that's closest to like being the collector guy? Would that be like a Chris Hardwick?
See, I'm not certain because I have not had this conversation with many comedians because I don't want them to know that I'm just this nerdy.
Yeah.
But
well, in reality, when you're a comic, there's a couple things that comics are into. It's pro wrestling.
Yes.
It's comic books, which
yes.
I never got the comic book.
See, I'm not huge with that either.
Yeah. I like the movies.
Yeah.
But I'm not like an avid comic book reader. And then there's sports.
Sports. And then you got the guys that love like their muscle cars.
That's true.
Those are like the dudes who have like the super huge successful podcast. So, you know, Brent, I know you got that Tesla coming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? See how I did that for you? I did
hey,
that for you.
See?
But yeah, like everybody spends money on like something. Like
yeah.
I have like sneakers because, you know, I mean, I try to defy stereotypes, but I grew up in the 80s and 90s and I'm black. So you mm-hmm. figure out why I like sneakers.
How many sneakers do you have?
Well, you know, I've actually reduced. Mm-hmm. And I wear a size 14 in most sneakers.
Which I was going to say, you have big feet.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm 5'7" on a good day at best, and
yeah.
I wear a size 13 dress shoe, and then 14 to 15 in certain style sneakers.
Yeah.
So my boxes take up too much space, which is actually good. So I will quit spending the money that I don't have to spend.
For sure.
But I could ballpark. I probably think I have maybe like, maybe I think I might be down to like 55, 60 something pairs at this point. Maybe. You know, I mean, I haven't gone through the collection, you know, being, you know, very, you know, I haven't been very beautiful mind with it as of late, but I have like the, yeah. And the funny thing is, I was not a Michael Jordan fan growing up. I was a Dominique Wilkins fan growing up because he had the best high top fade flat top this side of Kid and Play. Mm-hmm. And Dominique Wilkins only had one signature shoe. It was the Reebok Pump, and they brought him back like 3 or 4 years ago, and they did not make a size 14, and I was irate.
Damn. So that, what did they go up to, 13 or
12? Yes, they cut off right below my size. I was upset with Reebok. And it's not like Reebok got a lot of black dudes wearing their kicks. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. Like, Allen Iverson was they do. Like, Shaquille O'Neal had like two pair with him. Mm-hmm. Then he formed his own line, which are now like Walmarts and Myers and getting kids made fun of and everything else. But, like, I was mad. And then Nike brought back my other favorite shoe, which was a Jason Kidd shoe. It was the Air Flight 95. And I found some 14s. They did not bring back the blue and white colorway I had when I was a kid. And I would go to a place called Just for Feet. I don't know if you remember Just for Feet.
No, I know.
They had like the basketball court inside the store with the hoop. So kids would go in there and like live out like hoop dreams, like they were going to be something.
Let me try these on and then go play.
Right. And I'm like, you're not getting an NBA deal off of you making like three layups at a shoe store where a dude who's got a divorce at home is trying to sell these to you and maybe ogle your mom because he's got nothing else to look forward to.
Al Bundy.
Yes. Except he wasn't at Gary's, and it wasn't women's sneakers. It was dudes and teenagers sitting there trying to hustle down the price.
I'm more of like a shoe carnival guy. I've never been a sneaker guy, but in shoe carnival, they always have the arcade style basketball.
Yep.
So I guess I need to step up my game and find a full basketball court in a shoe store.
See, here's the thing, though. It's like, there's two things with that. Like, because for one, you know, you're a married man now. Congratulations on
that. Thanks,
man. And I remember reading an article. I don't remember where it was, but it was like, women always look at a man's feet first to see, you know, if his shoes are clean. You know, they can blah, 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 blah. And I said, ooh, I remember that. So I try to never leave the house wearing busted kicks. I just try not to do it because with my luck, I know something will happen. Because when I was in college, Heather Renee French, now known as Heather Renee Henry, the wife of the former lieutenant governor of Kentucky, there was a Walmart near my house, and I said, I need to go get something like 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And I was like, who am I going to see? Yeah. And I'm at Walmart. And then Heather's in and dressed like impeccably.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't she be? I mean, now she's, you know, now she became Miss America one day. Mm-hmm. And it was just sitting there. It was like,
it's like when you go to the gas station in sweatpants.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm just getting the one thing. And then you run into everybody from your senior class.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, Brent's not doing too good.
So, So I remember that they said that women always look at your feet first. And then, you know, I said, I want to make sure that I don't have bad shoes on, you know. So if you catch me in like some like dirty, it's like, oh, he's having a bad day where he don't care. Like, this could be bad.
Like, either he's that or like cutting the grass.
Yes, that is true. You got to have your cutting the grass sneakers. But a lot of comics go on stage and they look like a hot mess. And I'm like, come on, man. There's a performance aspect. Yeah, you need to be funny, but look like you care.
Yeah, at least, and sometimes they say you need to be dressed as good as the audience or better. And some people are like, you got to wear a suit. And I'm like, nah,
it depends on what
your stage character is, you know?
Right.
But yeah, sometimes some people are just raggedy, and you're just like, man, if you just put a little more effort into it. And I'm saying that wearing like this flannel shirt and generic pants, so
see, but you got the game, man. You ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't. That's plus, the thing, you know, is I don't have to.
But you have a good everyman character. I try to have like a very boys to men type of vibe on stage because it's like, I know me. I am not gonna be like, I'm not gonna intimidate anybody.
Yeah.
I used to do MC battles, and I look like what I look like. So I had to be good at rapping.
So they didn't call you Mr. Steal Your Girl?
Not at all.
No.
Unfortunately, no. You know, I'll let the type of dude they would cheat off of in science class. And I'm like, you know, you ain't go to class. Like, that type of vibe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you got to, having your look, just as a person is one thing, mm-hmm. but, you know, if you're going to be entertaining people, try to have a look.
Yeah. A style. Well, I was listening to a podcast with Gabriel Iglesias. Maybe it was WTF or something, but mm-hmm. he was talking about, you know, what if they see a silhouette of Gabriel Iglesias, it's jean shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Yep.
It's and I hate to use the word brand,
yes.
but that's what it is you can recognize what mm-hmm. that is, you know?
Exactly. You know, and it's like I try to make my thing look respectable and presentable. Mm-hmm. Like at first glance, I know that I look like the type of dude where they'll be like, oh, hello. And I'm like, and I'm not going to say the TV characters that I've always gotten, but let's just say there were two 1990s TV characters from which I have had way too many comparisons. And I'm not going to say those names because I'm tired of it. And they had more flavor than people realize, especially when the one dude became Stefan. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Did I do that?
The 90s were not good for me in that regard. But yeah, man, you know, it's like have a concern, you know, mm-hmm. try to put a little effort in, you know what I mean? You want people to come see you, give them something to look at.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, I could listen to the podcast.
Yeah. At least look like you gave a shit because
yes.
I, you know, not tonight because we were at this college gig, but it's like a lot of people paid money. They got a babysitter. They paid to park. They got dinner before. This is their night out for the month.
Yes. And the other thing, too, is like, especially, you know, because I've been in front of a lot of, you know, predominantly black audiences in my day, and that happens. Black people will pay good money, get dressed up, make plans, and then sit there and look at you like, huh.
Uh-huh.
And if they hit you with that thug face, and y'all can't see what I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. but I want you to picture a dude on the first 48 getting interviewed by the cops, and he's just waiting to be like, I need to talk to my lawyer. Like
lawyer.
that face.
You getting a lawyer face?
Yeah. Like the I need a lawyer face. Because like I like the thug dude, like the best you can hope for with a thug dude in the crowd is to hit him to go, yeah. Like that's like him rolling on the floor, yeah. Like doubled over. Or the best one after the show, like, man, you stupid.
You're stupid. You crazy.
Yeah, you or I like it when women go, you crazy. Like that's like
playing.
The best. That's like the best. And then like old ladies would be like, I should hook you up with my granddaughter. And I'm like, is she cute? I need to see a picture first. Like, I ain't going for this Gladys. Like,
yeah, I don't want it to be one way. I need to know.
Yes, exactly.
But we were talking about your collecting. So yes. What came first, shoes or toys or was there something else?
I used to collect autographs. So when I was a kid, I grew up in Cincinnati. And when I was a kid, the Reds were not that great. It was after the Big Red Machine. And it was before the 1990 World Series Reds. And I would play Little League Baseball, which was perfect for a chubby kid. Because as I say on stage, that's perfect. Because, you know, like, let me get this straight. I hit the ball far enough and I get to walk. And I get a juice box. Mm-hmm. I was like, so I was in. But, like, I would play Little League Baseball. And then I would come home. And on Time Warner Cable, before it became Spectrum, there was you had WGN. So I could watch the Chicago Cubs. And the 80s Cubs were bad.
Yeah.
But they had, like, flavor. They had a black dude named Sean Dunston. And they had Andre Dawson with the best Jerry Curl this side of coming to America. They had a white dude named Ryan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, like, Rick Sutcliffe, you know, like, with his I Own a Boat in the Cayman Islands beard just mm-hmm. out there hanging out. And then I would turn on the TBS, and they had the Atlanta Braves. And the Atlanta Braves were even worse than the Cubs. They had a pitcher named Zane Smith. This dude, I don't know what was going on with my TV, but if I turn on that TV, it could be Monday, Zane Smith's pitching. Tuesday, I'm like, and he was a starting pitcher. So I know there was no way that my body was synced up in some weird alternate universe where I only got to see Zane Smith.
Yeah.
But he always was losing. Mm-hmm. But he was like their starting pitch. And then I saw Dale Murphy. He'd just be at. So I would get to watch. So I fell in love with like watching baseball because I could relate. My little league team was bad. Mm-hmm. These teams were bad. And now, you know, I love Charlie Brown and his baseball team was bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got ready to be a professional sports fan of several teams that weren't going to do well for many years of my lifetime at a young age.
Yeah.
So, but collecting.
Yep. Good for comedy.
Exactly.
Not necessarily you, but just the dream of comedy.
Yes. You know, disappointment. I was like, oh, they're like, hey, this kid's used to being sad. Let him try and tell jokes to people.
Yeah.
You know, but so like the autographs, though, were like a way of remembering like the players I met mm-hmm. or like a showcase of here's the famous people that I've met and things of that nature. And you can hang up different artifacts like a museum style and mm-hmm. make it look all presentable. Like, ooh, he's met this person or he did that. Like, well, I paid through the nose for that one or
yeah.
this one I got for free or this one I met and things of that nature. So it's just like little artifacts from where you are. It's like, because, you know, doing comedy, whenever I tour and do a new city, I try to buy a magnet from that city and put mm-hmm. it on the refrigerator. It's just kind of like a where you've been. been. I'm very big on like remembering things and archiving, and because I love the subject of history. You know, those who don't learn from it are doomed to repeat it.
Yeah,
you know, which that's why they should have known that the second Roseanne was not going to work. they should have been paying attention to the recent history. But you know, so it's like, and the collecting is like little keepsakes. Now the sneakers, that's just, you know, they look good. You got a new pair of sneakers on. You feel like it'd be like the first day of school. You'd be like, oh, I'm gonna kill them in the morning. Yeah. I can't. You sitting there, you lay the outfit out on the bed, be like, ooh, that's, and then you get to school and like find like six other people had the same pair of sneakers in your class, and you all just look like a bad uncoordinated boy band. Like, well, this didn't work out. But
you gotta find something that is. I'm a t-shirt guy too. I don't know if you like t-shirts. But
I do.
It's you got to find something when I go to like a horror convention. I got to find something that nobody else has.
Yes. I do that with baseball caps because I live in Cincinnati. I see Reds hats left and right.
Yeah.
Last year was the Reds 150th anniversary. This one website had an exclusive cap, and I'm the only person I've seen in Cincinnati with it. And I was at an event recently, and the Reds CEO and president saw it and was like, yeah, I've never seen that before. That's an interesting cap, and isn't that? And I was like, oh, man, the president of the team liked my cap. I was like, he ain't going to give me no money for it, but it just felt made me feel good.
Yeah.
Well, like Halle Berry and Monsters Ball. Made me feel good.
Game recognized game.
Exactly.
That happened with my wife. We were at this horror convention, and she... I had bought her this Elvira figure.
Okay.
And she gets it signed by Elvira, and she's like, oh, I haven't seen this one in like a decade, because everybody else has got their Funko Pops and whatever.
I've seen them.
So that was her moment with Elvira, to be like, oh, I haven't seen this one in a while. So
yep, I've had that happen. I gave Walton Goggins his Funko Pop from the Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
And then I got, and then I smeared the autograph being stupid. So like, Walton, you have no idea. Walton Goggins, if you hear this, hit me up. I'd like to get that redone, please.
And if you're not familiar with Walton Goggins, he's the guy from that thing.
Yes.
He's
on that show, The Unicorn, now.
Oh, really?
On ABC, which is like, he was on that show, Vice Principals, on HBO, but he is that dude with the forehead that you see.
And the teeth.
Yes.
He's got these teeth.
Yes. He was in Ant-Man as one of the villains in the second Ant-Man, but you wouldn't remember that. He was like, he had a villain run for a while.
Yeah.
But like in secondary, he was like the villain in Ant-Man 2. He was the villain in that Tomb Raider reboot.
He's Righteous Gemstones. He was, his name's Uncle Baby Billy.
Yeah, he's like, get me on. He's like, can I get that reboot action? He got that market locked down.
Yeah. So with your autographs,
yes.
It started with baseball essentially, and then how did it go from baseball to I don't know everything that you've got.
Well, so I have this collection that I took out insurance on, which is why don't be trying to rob me, people. but. It just grew because it was kind of like the idea of, so I grew up in the 80s when baseball cards went through their big boom. They're almost all worthless now.
Yeah.
But because they were overproduced. But, because that was everybody's like, oh man, I'm going to retire. And he ain't going to retire off of this Greg Jeffries.
Yeah.
Greg Jeffries couldn't retire off of a Greg Jeffries. And I ain't picking on Greg Jeffries. He made it to Major League Baseball and I didn't. But everybody who heard the name Greg Jeffries, who collected cards just now, just winced a little bit. Like, ooh, I remember that. Like, yeah, we all did. But it just, one of the things was like, so the 80s had the baseball card boom, and then every little kid turned into like, Scrooge McDuck or the Monopoly Man character. Like, yeah, I'm going to stack these and I'm going to be able to retire and do all this and that. And then you hit the big money, and then they started putting autographed cards in the packs. And that made people start chasing them like Willy Wonka's golden tickets and everything else. And, and then sometimes you buy a pack and you would hit a big autograph and you'd be like, oh man, everybody would kill to have this card, this and that. And then you would spend money on packs. And it'd be like, well, this sucked. It's like, it became like buying lottery tickets.
Yeah, because it's not a literal gamble, but it's like
the stock market for kids until you get older, and then you see grown men in ill-fitting t-shirts and whatnot. Because I've gone autograph chasing before at like different venues and things of that nature. And we were talking about the comics conversation for clothing. Shout out to my fellow comedian and friend Vince Morris, who says that every stereotype has a nucleus. I have seen grown men in atrocious apparel trying to get professional athletes to sign autograph, and I felt like going, how are you not putting this on eBay? I felt like saying, well, you could tell me you're not putting it on eBay, because look at your outfit. You definitely ain't spending money in the clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a chubby dude, but these dudes make me look like Usain Bolt circa 2012. Like, these dudes, just the...
comic book guy from The Simpsons, essentially.
Dude, comic book guy from The Simpsons is like their patron saint. I'm talking bad mullets. I'm talking and one basketball shorts when you ain't dribbled anything but a fork at an IHOP. I'm talking ill-fitting t-shirts with multiple, not one, I'm talking multiple stains. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that Saturday Night Live sketch that William Shatner did. Like, have any of you even dreamt of seeing a naked woman? Like, just... I mean, just like, there's like, if I was the athlete, I'd be like, if any one of y'all can even tell me what a naked woman's body feels like, I will sign. Like, it's like the scene in the 40-year-old virgin, like a bag of sand. Like,
are you a virgin?
just terrible. Yeah. So, yeah, man.
So, but, can you spot like an eBay person? Yeah, versus,
yeah, because they're usually not good because they have like a stack of like 30 and 40 things they're trying to get signed. Yeah. They're like, oh, can you hit this one? Can you hit this one? They'll push little kids out the way.
Jeez.
You know, and they'll like the two cardinal rules of autograph hunting. And if I ever get famous, everybody, please follow these. Although, let's be honest, I'm a comedian. I will probably sign everything possible. but the two cardinal rules are you do not bother a celebrity or an athlete when they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not bother them with family unless they see you and they say it's cool when they'll like motion you over or something. Yeah. But I have seen dudes almost like push little kids out the way. Like, I saved a kid at a Cincinnati Bengals training camp when Adrian Peterson decided to sign. Skipped over me twice.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, AP, I'm just going to throw that out there. That's why I have a joke about you on my second album. Take that. That's my revenge. But like, this little kid was getting, so I like shielded a little kid from like getting crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I never understood about people was like, hey, let's see, what would make this celebrity want to sign autographs for us if we're all in a nice, simple line in a calm fashion? Or if we act like this is 1929 and we just heard the stock market crash and he has all the milk and bread, so we got to get it from him. I'm like, what is wrong with you morons? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I actually got a really good autograph that one way last year. By the way, for anybody still listening, thank you for indulging this, because if you're not into this, you're probably like, isn't he supposed to be a comedian? This ain't funny.
Well, the topic is autographs and collecting. Stuff,
well, I'm just saying, you know,
they know what they're in for.
Okay, I'm hoping to collect in podcasts. I was at the Reds game, and Nolan Arenado from the Rockies comes over pregame to start signing autographs, and he was near me, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll get him or not, because he's very like, he only signs like at the game. Anyway, short story shorter, he's signing, and people start to act like a bunch of idiots and start pushing, and I go, stop pushing, just be patient. I said, just try and be calm. He hears me, comes over directly to me, takes my ball out my hand, signs it underneath the logo of the Rockies' 25th anniversary of the special baseball I had, signs it, gives me back my pen and my ball, and walks right to the dugout. And then everybody looked at me like, huh? And I was like, and I felt like going
I told you.
I was going into like DMX mode. I was like, what? Say something. I was like, I was like, what made y'all think that? I was like, why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make the athlete feel special. Like, look, they go kill each other for me. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't work. And then some people go inside hotel. Like, I've been outside a hotel in a venue before. You don't go in because that's intruding on their private space.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and for some of the people, they have to complete their sets of cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really collect cards anymore because that's
being
that's
a completionist is expensive.
Yes. Dude, I love the Air Jordan 4. That used to be like my favorite because I never got it as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I went to private school and my mom was going to buy them for me and I couldn't get them. So when they re-released those when I was an adult, I was so happy.
Yeah.
But I used to try to get almost every model of Air Jordan 4. And then I looked at my closet one day and I said, oops, I forgot I had these. Mm-hmm. I spent like $200. I don't usually forget what I spend $200 on.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, we're going to scale back. Mm-hmm. This is too much. And you can't keep up. It's like the ESPN documentary Broke, trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Because
Nike isn't going to stop making sneakers because they don't stop liking money.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally a new Jordan release every other week. It's January of a new year. Let's see. They've already dropped the Air Jordan 4 Black Cat. They got the Air Jordan 9 coming out. By the time y'all hear this, it'll probably be out. They got the Air Jordan 13 Chinese New Year.
So when you say that stuff, that means nothing to me.
Not a sneakerhead right now. It's sitting here like, oh, man, I got to talk to my boy over at Foot Locker because he got to try to hook me up. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what they started doing, like raffles and everything else. Because
people were getting shot and fighting.
I mean, you've seen seen all that YouTube footage, you know, just those, you know, that classic, you know, you see all those people lined up and then acting the fool and everything else, because it's an old thing with collecting. Anything is worth what someone is willing to pay for it. It's the caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. You know, I've seen people turn down money where I'm like, you know, that's the only person that's asked you about that ever in your collection. It's just been sitting there collecting dust. And then
I've seen, and go buy more stuff.
And then I've seen, I had a pair of sneakers. They were Air Jordan 12s. They were the Air Jordan Wings. Macklemore made them somehow popular. So that can tell you when this period was. Remember Macklemore, everybody?
That's $50 for a t-shirt.
Right. They made 12,000 pairs, and they numbered them on the inside of the tongue. I don't really like the Air Jordan 12 because as a short, squatty man, they don't really look good on my foot. But I said, I know that somebody wants these, and usually everything I get, whether it's an autograph or a sneaker, I always get it for me. If I get extras or something, I'd be like, okay, we can try to make a little bit of money off of that to offset my other costs.
Yeah.
But this pair of sneakers, I was like, I have no desire to keep these.
This is all profit.
I said, if I win these through Nike's website, these are getting sent to eBay, or as a sneaker herd would say, eBizzle. And I got a pair, and they were originally $260, and whoever paid me that $700+ for that pair of sneakers, I thank you, because I know I had some money for me and a bill that month, because somebody just had to have them. And the sad part is, I waited till I had them in hand. If I had just listed a generic picture the day they dropped, they went for like $900 to $1,000+.
Yeah, that's like
Kanye West sneakers have done that when the old ones came out and whatnot.
PS5, and you're like, man, that's not even out yet.
Because, oh, you know, I guarantee you, when that PlayStation 5 and that new Xbox come out later this year, but especially the PlayStation 5, because PlayStation people are dedicated. PlayStation people are like potheads who are like, yeah, it's my favorite strain. It's like, like PlayStation people are dedicated. When that PS5 comes out, somebody grandma going to catch a bad one at a GameStop parking lot. I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah, it's I have an Xbox because I won it in a raffle at a wrestling show. But nice. I do like the Xbox One, but whenever you post about playing whatever game, there's always a PS5 or PS4 person coming in and being like, man, that's garbage. I'm like, why did you care? That's like somebody that's like, you drive a Chevy? I'm a Ford guy. You know, like, why do you care, man?
And that's the thing with collecting. You get to find out so much about people because they are dedicated to what they do. Because no matter what it is, people like to be, whether it's politics, whether... Cincinnati Bengals may be drafting Joe Burrow number one overall. Joe Burrow is from Ohio. He's from Athens, Ohio. He's an Ohio guy. He's already mentioned in his pre-draft interviews that he does not care for one of our chili restaurants.
Yeah.
The public is aghast.
Oh.
How could you not like the chili? And I feel like going, because he don't.
Yeah,
you know how you want him to like you know, lead the franchise to like is the chili that important? Like for real though, like for real, like I'm just saying, like for real though.
Yeah, you'll be saying like, that if he wins, you know, the championship. I'm like I don't like Skyline Chili either.
Right. I'm like, if the man wins the Super Bowl, let the man eat ice cream on top of pasta. I don't care.
Yeah,
but people get very dedicated about that. I mean, you know, this is like comedians, you know, we talk about who we like or who we don't like, and oh, I can't believe this person likes that. And my thing always is the audience laughing, and is the material original?
Yeah.
You don't have to like it, but I say if the crowd's laughing and the material is original, can't hate them for it.
Well, and it's even just a peace of mind to let somebody like something.
Yes.
If you're hating on what they like, why? That's time you could be spending with something that you like.
Yep. Well, although I must say, sometimes I like hating.
It is fun to hate. That's the thing. It's infectious. When you find somebody else that hates the same thing you do.
Oh, that's perfect. Like, because I'm a hip hop dude and I love 90s hip hop. I have Sirius XM on the car and I still have an iPod. And I use that iPod all the time because I can control what these mumble rappers at. I'm like, you speak and spell sound. Like, I can't help it. Like, oh, that turns me into the dudes in the balcony at the Muppets, Waldorf and Statler. I'd be like, oh, you think Tekashi 6ix9ine can rap? Yeah, he's rapping to the judge. Like, I can't. I can't deal with it. So that's like the one area where I turn into the get off my lawn, mm-hmm. old man shakes handed cloud, Grandpa Simpson yeah. mood. Like that, that's like my thing with that one. Oh, like, and I write movie reviews, mm-hmm. McCoy on movies.blogspot.com. So I do write film reviews, but it's like, you know, there's certain people that like are very popular in certain segments of different communities, and I'm just like, yep, good luck with that, because mm-hmm. I can't deal with it. But you know, so it goes hand in hand. People get very dedicated and argue a lot. It's like the ESPN thing where you put four talking heads on the show. You could do that for anything. Like if they had like shows where they put like wrestling, we both like wrestling. Yeah. Bring up Baron Corbin to somebody right now.
Oh, he's garbage.
That would be like the, you know, and I'd be like, well, he's more successful than all of us.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
But that's the thing. We enjoy hating as much as we do enjoying. Because, mm-hmm. like, I have a joke right now that I sometimes remember to do when I'm competent on stage about that show MasterChef Junior. Because mm-hmm. there's no reason for that show to be on mainstream television. You got 8 to 13-year-olds under heavy pressure on national TV talking about my souffle fell. I'm like, yeah, you try to keep your parents' marriage together, Stephanie. Like,
yeah.
That's why you on this show. It's like,
they got divorced because right. my souffle.
It's like, people in Vegas take odds on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Even on wrestling.
Yes.
A fake sport.
It's predetermined. Sports, entertainment, and it's predetermined. But, like, you know, but yeah, man, like, we enjoy stuff, and we enjoy hating on stuff just as much. Like, let's be honest. No one's watching my 600-pound life because they're interested in those people. That's to make you feel better about you.
Yeah, recently we've gone on a 2-week binge of Hoarders is on Hulu, and it's... It's just, I don't know why I like to watch that show, man.
It just makes you feel like, here's the thing. This is what makes me feel bad about me. I love watching that show the first 48, but mm-hmm. I can eat during most of the part. And I don't feel like, unless they show the body on the street.
Yeah.
Because that dude's narration is, he'll be like, and like, it was supposed to be a birthday party, but the gift was a bullet. I'm like, oh, snap. Like, but like, you know, I like watching that because of the interviews, because mm-hmm. criminals are dumb.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Tom Segura has the best joke about that I've ever seen. But like, I've never seen that dude before in my life. Well, we told you had a video of him 5 minutes before you went to the store. I mean, I shot the dude, but it's like that's why I cannot watch scripted cop shows, because mm-hmm. I know the reality, because criminals aren't that bright. They were like, he left 3 lollipops at the scene of the crime. It looks like the sugar bandit has struck again. Like, that dude ain't do that. He dropped them running out the store, pulling his pants up.
Yeah, that was not a calling card. Right. That was just because this pocket, you know, had a hole
it's like,
in it.
So, I'm not a Star Wars person. You know, I took a friend of mine who is a Star Wars mm-hmm. person. If you've never seen a Star Wars movie, like, they're not going to make any more of the new ones. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man, taking a Star Wars junkie to a Star Wars premiere, man, that's like watching somebody in sex rehab not to try to stare at a Playboy. Mm-hmm. It's like just salivating and because my man was all in. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, like I could say I need your firstborn child. Now he might be like, I can make another one. Like he was all in. But we enjoy, like, so,
well, and
you know, we enjoy wrestling and collecting.
Yeah.
And how many people have told you, like, oh, that's so stupid?
Yeah, all the time. But, and the thing is, I know it's stupid, but it's the thing that I like.
Yes.
So why do you care?
Right.
The thing that you like is stupid.
Yes.
But it's all stupid.
Because I have a friend of mine, his wife is like she's the most woke, the most liberal, mm-hmm. still likes watching The Real Housewives.
I know. We all have that shit.
Yes.
And it's so hard to
break away. So hard.
Even if, you know, somebody like Louis C.K. got on your favorite show, are you going to stop watching? Are you going to be like, you know, that's choices we all have to make now because shit is coming to light about people.
Well, it's funny because, like, I am a diehard Simpsons fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I didn't see Harry, and I'm not going to say Harry's last name because I would mispronounce it and be like, that's part of the problem.
Harry Shearer?
No, Harry Condabluth. I can't say his last name correctly.
Ari Condabluth.
Yes. And I know he had the documentary about the problem with Apu, mm-hmm. called The Trouble with Apu. And I'm not of that culture.
Yeah.
So I was like, for one, I didn't want to watch it and get sad.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because when I would see Apu on The Simpsons, it made me more interested in Indian culture. I never had anybody that I knew of Indian descent until I got into college mm-hmm. in the same scholarship program I was in. And I never saw like the problem of it. But then like when I saw how much fervor and furor he had, and I was just like, but I like Apu. Yeah, I know. I don't want to lose Ganesh. Like, but now, like, Hank Azaria said he's not going to do the voice mm-hmm. anymore. And I'm just like, well, you know, I'm supposed to respect, you know, Hank Azaria's decision. And I know that people said that he was a, but I never thought he was like, I just want him to be at the Quickie Mart. Like, yeah. I felt like the dude that was in that wrestling thing was like, it's still real to me.
Yeah, it's like one of those where that show is literally on for 30 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, for some people, that was all they had seen of the Indian culture. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, to change it, I'm fine with whatever. It's a cartoon show that doesn't matter. Right. But I'm also like, then he also does Carl's voice, black guy.
Yeah.
Do you have to change that?
Show was done by a white dude from Ohio named Mike Henry. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was just happy that there was a black cartoon on the air. You know, because all the black shows don't last. I mean, I'm not trying to go there, but hey, Boondocks, Creator Problem, Chappelle Show, issue with that. Like,
yeah.
I swear, if I got a show, I got, what, how many seasons do I got?
Let's play. Like,
I know
for
I ain't
one.
Got that many.
Hope for two.
Your man from Saturday Night Live, Kenan Thompson, was supposed to have a show on the air like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what's up with that one. Like, that's what they called it, Black-ish. They had to put the ish on to keep it on the air. I'm like,
yeah. Black-ish. Now it's mixed-ish.
Right. I'm like, are they going to come soon with like, woke-ish? Like,
yeah. It's weird where, you know, I like the stuff that I like, but I also don't want to be a dick about it.
Right.
And I'm not saying, keep Apu. I think the character should exist, but should he do the voice? I don't know. I'm just asking the questions.
And it was funny because you're talking about like collecting. Mm-hmm. They had stopped making Simpsons DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And fans went nuts. Yeah. I didn't know who to write to. But I was mad because I was like, man, I got so many. And then they started, they made the 20th anniversary edition.
I bought that.
Of course you did. Mm-hmm. And then they made the 18. So then they worked backwards like a weird Tarantino thing. It was like 20, then 18, now 19. And then I'm like, I need these next 10 volumes or I need to speak to a manager. Don't make me go get my friend Karen. I will find a Karen and speak to a manager.
It's weird because like South Park, when that season's done, that DVD is out.
Yep.
The Simpsons is 30 years and they're still on season 19 or 18.
And they wait till like right around
every
Black Friday
season.
Christmas. Yep. The Simpsons are like dope dealers. They be like, how bad you want it?
Yeah.
How bad you want it?
Well, now it's on Disney Plus. I'm like, I don't need it that bad.
But see, I'm mad because the thing, there's too much media now. Talking about collecting, there's too much. My friend's like, have you seen that show? No.
Yeah.
You got Netflix, Hulu, what's
Amazon
the other?
Amazon
Prime.
Disney Plus.
Shudder's
the horror one, but yeah, it's all.
See,
WWE
I didn't know
there
was
Network.
A horror one. Yeah. See, it's too much. We got more than we know what to do with. It's like mm-hmm. collecting WWE figures. They're on what series 76 of?
I don't
the
even
Elite.
Know, man. I'm not a big wrestling collector guy.
Oh well, you should be happy because, dude, like I like Becky Lynch. That's shout out to Rebecca Quinn. If you didn't work out with Seth Rollins, Black Irish, last name McCoy. But like they drop Becky Lynch. They used to not drop that many figures of the women.
Mm-hmm.
Then they signed Ronda Rousey, and you know Vince McMahon loves a dollar.
Yep.
So there's been a Ronda Rousey figure every cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Lynch starts making money. There's a Becky Lynch figure every cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And now Target gets certain figures as exclusives. Walmart gets mm-hmm. certain figures as exclusives. And there's a company called Ringside Collectibles, and they get stuff furt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And that's not to mention Funko Pops.
Oh.
Who is, do you want Becky Lynch with the title? Do you want Becky Lynch
and
with,
her shirt
with
the
not
man?
The title? Yep. Do you want Becky? There's 30 variations of the same figure.
And then they make the Chase figures, which are even harder to find. Mm-hmm. And you cannot have everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's that old expression like you can't have it all. Like between sneakers, between my autograph collecting, and mm-hmm. between my action figures, it's like, yeah, I can't have it all, but I want a lot of it.
I know,
close.
Yeah. It's the problem is it's never ending. There's it's like with when I equate it to comedy that there's nobody telling you, hey, you can punch out, your work day is done.
Yep.
With a real job, you're like 5 o'clock, I'm done. I'm not thinking about it till tomorrow.
And you know this, you know, it's one of those things where you try to be humble and you try to mm-hmm. be happy for people. And then in the back of your mind, you're like, how'd they get in that club? They got what festival? How'd they get that?
How'd they get those Jordans? You know,
like, oh, dude, there are some clubs that if I could get into those clubs, I'd be like, I'm going to let these three pairs go. Like, mm-hmm. I would, you know, it's like, because, you know, it's comedy, unfortunately, has the gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, with autographs, the athlete or celebrity either signs or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
With sneakers, you know, either you have the money or you don't. Either you got it, you got lucky. Although they have like raffles for some of them mm-hmm. now, but you either got it or you don't. With comedy, it's kind of like, I have it, I'm ready. I don't think you are. And it's like, what? Yeah. Like, no.
Or they say, send me a Vails, and then you never hear from them again. But with I want to talk about your shoes. You mentioned colorway.
Yes.
And I know that because I watched a documentary on sneakerheads. Yes. But what's the vernacular that goes into sneakers?
So you have different sneaker vernaculars.
Say, even you say sneakers. I don't say sneakers.
Well, you can say
just like
kit.
Shoes.
You can
kicks.
Say shoes. Are you going to a job interview?
I know. That's the thing is I'm not a sneaker guy. So
you have different. So first, there's a couple different terms. And I didn't really get into sneakers until like 2010. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at first they could have called me a hype beast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a hype beast is a person who falls for all the hype of the latest sneaker because it's like, oh, these are cool. Well, if I buy these, they'll make me cool. Yeah,
so you're a mark. In wrestling, you're a mark.
Yes, in wrestling, you would be a mark. And in sneakers, you would be a hype beast.
Okay.
Now, in baseball cards, you want mint. You mm-hmm. want gem mint, if possible, where the card is centered properly, the corners are sharp, the autograph is placed. It's not a sticker autograph that they slap on the card. It's signed on the card itself. Mm-hmm. So there you want gem mint. In sneakers, what you want is DS or dead stock because they have been in a stock room dead. No one has touched them. Mm-hmm. They are not breathing yet.
Nary a foot has been in those things.
Exactly. Because some people don't even like it. Like, oh, man, you said these shoes were dead stock. That's laced up. That means somebody tried it on. Mm-hmm. That can cause an argument for people.
Yeah.
So they want the DS dead stock sneakers, you know what I mean? And you know, and then you know, and then they have the other ones, you know, they got those out there. Then they have what they call gently worn. Mm-hmm. That means like, see, like these are what they would consider like, I'm gonna see these in the toe box. There's like a little crease here.
Even toe box.
Yes.
That's
the toe area, the toe box. Yeah. And when you put them on, they have a thing they sell called sneaker shields mm-hmm. where you can put them in the top of your shoe so that you can walk and then not crease.
Not bend them.
Yeah. But unless you buy a bigger size, that's going to hurt your foot because mm-hmm. you are putting in something artificial to supplement your toes, and then you are going to be walking like, yeah, my sneakers are fresh. I'm in so much pain. Like, so I can't, like, I got, you know, it's like, yeah, I may tear my Achilles, but look at my kicks, though. Yeah.
Seeing
like,
somebody in high heels, it's the same thing, you know?
Exactly. You know, and then everyone has what they call the plug mm-hmm. or the connect. Now,
that's the hookup guy, right?
That's the So, okay. if you made friends, now this is bad in like the early 2000s, you know, you would make friends with that dude who wasn't getting paid, who was getting minimum wage at the sneaker shop, and he would like, yo, come hit me up with like so and so, I'll get you, you know, he would slide you out a pair early mm-hmm. or whatever else. And you'd be like, oh man, how'd you get those? Those come out for like three more days. That's the plug.
Yeah.
That's the connect.
And he's just charging you regular price, right? But you're kind of slipping him some stuff.
Or you figure out something to make it worth his while.
Yeah, for sure.
So you could catch up to your connect or your plug.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, I was trying to think of what the term is. I'm forgetting the term in autograph seeking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people would call them the stalkers. But the people who have, like, the information.
Yeah.
You know, they're
like, I was going to ask, is there a guy that's like, hey, they're going to be at this hotel?
Yeah, they're going to be at this hotel. I know people that know how to track flights.
Okay.
So they'll be like, okay, this team is leaving this airport. They should get here about this time. They will call hotels. I'm giving out information that's going to make a lot of the autograph collectors mad at me. But you know what? Y'all ain't nice to me, so take that. some of you are very nice. You my people. But they'll be like, they'll call the hotels and they'll ask for like the name of like an assistant trainer
mm-hmm.
because they're not going to use a fake name.
Yeah, it's just going to be whoever.
Right. You know, because Michael Vick famously used Ron Mexico as his name for hotels when he was on the road.
Yeah.
And then after the scandal broke or whatever it was, people were trying to buy from NFL.com Atlanta Falcons jerseys with Mexico 7 on the back.
Okay.
Until NFL got wise and shut that down. But yeah, those old Ron, if somebody could get Michael Vick to sign a Ron Mexico jersey, that would probably have a little bit of a premium to it
because
it'd be like one of those things. And that's the thing with autograph collectors. The rarer the item, the better it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, if you have a one of one card and then you can get it signed, if it's not all, because they'll put one of ones in the packs
mm-hmm.
or in the boxes. But if you can get that one of one signed or that rare logo, I'm in a group on Facebook for logo baseballs.
Mm-hmm.
There are logo baseballs like All-Star Game. It's the official game ball from that game. Well, they mass produce those now. But in the late 70s and the early 80s, when they first started making them, people weren't thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Cy Young Award winner baseball. if you can find those blank Cy Young Award winner baseballs, they're like $150 just for that ball unsigned because they don't make them anymore. There's MVP award baseballs. Like, there's some people in that group that have things I've never, I'm like, do you work at the factory? How'd you get that? Like, and it's like, you'll look it up in the history, but like, this ball was made from 1981 to 1986. And it has like the stamp from Costa Rica where they used to make them, where they didn't probably pay the employees enough. But they had like the stamps from down there and like those rare logo baseballs. And then you can get someone to sign it because Mike Trout is the hottest thing in baseball right now. And someone
who is that? I don't know who that is.
Oh, Mike Trout is like the Caucasian Michael Jordan in baseball.
Okay.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's like the best. Like, you're the best? Like, they have like his own Karate Kid. That should be like his walk up at bat music.
Yeah.
But like, there are people that have found those MVP baseballs and all those, and like an extremely rare, like American League Rookie of the Year baseball. And Mike Trout's private signings are not cheap.
Yeah.
To put him in terms, they're like two pair of Jordans.
And is that what private signing, does that mean you're handing, I've seen the Facebook ads for like a private, does that mean you walk up to a table and you meet him, or you're taking your stuff, a guy takes it to the room and he signs it?
So a public signing, people have like, hey, so-and-so's going to be having an autograph signing. You come out, you'll pay this much to get your stuff signed or pay this much for the photo op. And I never... And The Rock, me. No, and I have never paid for a photo op with a celebrity because I understand paying for your autograph. That's something that can be resold and has like a market value to it.
Yeah, nobody unless wants a picture of Tabari and The Rock.
Right, unless I get real, real famous, no one's going to need a picture of me with any of those people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if I can get a photo with somebody, I will. But I'm not going to pay you for it because the photo op market is huge now because they say that the selfie is the new autograph.
Yeah, I mean, that in some ways it is.
Right. So, I mean, there are some people, you know, because like when I send my autographs off, they're like, oh, I need to meet the person. And I'm like, what if they're not nice? What if they're not what you think they are? Like,
Let me believe what I want to believe.
I'm like, be careful meeting your heroes because, you know, it's like comedians. I've worked with some comedians who were the nicest people, you know, and then I've worked with some where I'm like, yeah, you funny, but...
Man, I can't wait to meet this guy. And then you're like, oh, he's not letting anybody in the green room. And you're just like, oh, man, you know.
And they're like, well, I earned it because I'm a star. But yeah, when you fall like a star does, remember when you hit the earth that some of us were not going to catch you.
Yeah.
But
in the
that's
autograph,
a whole other podcast, people.
And you're more sports-oriented autographs, right?
But that's the problem. So my collection has expanded upon me.
Yeah.
I have movie posters. I have some movie posters right now. If I can find a way to get people to go to my website and buy my albums on Amazon so I can get Chris Evans and Tom Hiddleston on my limited edition Captain America and Avengers posters before March when they do that Comic-Con in Boston, Massachusetts, where I can't go. So I'm going to have to mail my stuff to a company in Texas who will then fly it to Massachusetts, get it signed, pay for the authentication from the leading authenticators, the people that you can trust that this is authentic as opposed to those small fly-by-night companies and all that. Yeah, I would love to be able to get all that done because that's at a private signing. But the public signings, to go back to your original question, you go to the event, you get to meet the person, they sign, and then some people have restrictions. Like Bo Jackson would not sign his famous image of him wearing shoulder pads with a bat because I think he didn't get paid for that photo or something.
Oh, yeah. So he's got beef with that, and now he's bringing it to your signing.
And it's like,
yeah.
I was at an event, and a dude said that a certain athlete wouldn't sign with a certain color of ink.
It's
and
bizarre.
I was like, why? Why does the color of the ink matter? And
but also, it's like, it's his signing.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll take what I can get, you know?
And a lot of athletes will personalize or what they call loop their signature.
Yeah.
So they'll say, what's your name? And you can always see the people. I mean, and I don't like my stuff personal. I like the museum quality. Because I want it museum quality. But they do that because they're like, I'm going to personalize so that way you can't sell
it. Put it on eBay.
But there are tons of ways to alter, fix, or erase part of a signature. I know how to do it.
Does that mean like as soon as you walk off, you're like licking your finger and like...
Well, I mean, there's certain types of tools you can use. There's tutorial videos out there.
Man, that's what I'm so interested in, the subculture of signing and stuff like
that. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like I got very fortunate and I got Giannis Antetokounmpo, the current reigning NBA MVP, the year he was the year he won the MVP, but before he won the award.
Yeah.
So he was having his year, but he hadn't won the award yet.
Yeah.
And I knew, and a couple people were nice enough to tell me where to go. And there was only like 14 of us, and he signed for all of us, and he signed twice, and he gave out the better version of his signature, because his signature does not look like anything that says Giannis, and definitely not Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm.
This current season, he signed, and there was a mass rush of people because he's the reigning MVP.
Yeah.
And his signature was just, you could, I mean, you know, just, nobody, yeah, it just looked like, whatever.
I got to sign 30 things, let right. me, yeah.
He's like, you know, and you can't get mad because mm-hmm. he's signing. He's being nice enough to sign
yeah.
when his signature commands a premium price. But I got lucky, and I have him on two items, which, if Giannis ever hears this, not selling them. You might do a Greek freak. But I got him to get them framed up and put up nicely one day.
Yeah.
But there are some people I know, they get what they call China jerseys, and they call them China jerseys because we know that many of our countries on a certain continent, they have a lot of factories which mm-hmm. have been known to produce not authentic merchandise. Mm-hmm. That's not my name for them. They can also be called the bootleg or the flea market jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
But they will go buy those jerseys every year, and they're like, we're gonna get these signed, and people buy those because they're cheaper, or they're custom jerseys, so they look like the real jersey, but they're missing like the logo or the stripe. And people get those, and they, you know, they want them because they're jerseys signed by the athlete, and they get them framed up. You know, I try to get all my stuff like museum quality, but people get the China jerseys out. Athletes try to loop their signature. Mm-hmm. They don't want to sign on certain spots and certain items. A lot of athletes will grab a black Sharpie because black doesn't look good on certain items, or they'll dark spot a photograph, mm-hmm. which means that if you have a black Sharpie and the photo is you in a white uniform and there's a black spot in the back that's like the crowd or something else, oh, I'll sign for you.
Yeah. So do most athletes, they're aware of all that stuff? Like, I'll give them the good signature.
It depends. Mm-hmm. I say it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Some athletes, they don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
There are some guys, shout out to John Gray from the Colorado Rockies, Steve Shishak with the Chicago White Sox, Paul DeJong with the St. Louis Cardinals. Certain guys, you know, they come to town, they're like, oh, nicest guy in the world, nicest guy on the team. Just be here at this certain time. They're creatures of habit. They're going to take the team bus, or they're going to, during batting practice, they sign. They're very nice about it. Some guys start off nice, and then every season, oh, here's 5 people wanting me. Here's 10 people wanting me. Here's 20 people wanting me. And it becomes a horde, and you can't, and they like, you can't sign enough of those people. And then it's like, they get tired, and they're like, okay, I know there's no way you're keeping all these. I forget who it was, but somebody was in a book. It was Jason Kendall, former mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Pirates catcher. He said you would see guys show up with like 20 and 30 cards, and they're like, there's no way you're keeping all these for yourself.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, at least let everybody have a chance
right.
to get your.
So they get wary about that. Although some guys are like, if I have a card of you, I want every card signed
mm-hmm.
so I can put it in my collection, because they are completists and a little obsessive with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the guys who, if they sign, you need to run out, buy a lottery ticket, ask that high school crush out, because it's like seeing Halley's Comet.
Well, I was going to ask, what are some in the industry, as far as signing, mm-hmm. are there some elusive signatures that people are like, you got a what?
Oh, yeah. There's one dude I know. He gets all the top NBA people for the most part, and mm-hmm. I'm just like, I can't get that dude, or baseball people where I'm mm-hmm. like, man, I can't get that guy, or people that live in bigger cities, like, you know, they'll see like an athlete or celebrity every day or every week.
Yeah.
And some of them are out there professionally chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then some are like Matt Damon is a clip of him on Conan O'Brien. You can see it on YouTube, but talking about how he would see the same guys all the time when he goes home to Massachusetts. So he said that him and Ben Affleck were going to sign as much as they could to lower their price on the market. And Matt Damon's is low. Ben Affleck must have stopped, because I know how much I paid to have my Justice League poster signed.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I got it signed is because I had the poster. And I said, okay, we'll try and wait. And I'm missing one signature. So once again, Gal Gadot, do one more convention. Yeah. Come on, Gal. I need you to do one so I can complete this poster.
What is your holy grail as far as signatures?
That I would want, or that I have?
But that you have.
Ooh. Well, there's certain people that I have that I was either smart enough to pay for when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
or I was lucky. Like, I have a Tom Brady autographed rookie card that was certified by the company. So they paid him to sign them, so mm-hmm. There's no worries about being legitimate. And after he won his first Super Bowl, I was like, I'm going to buy one of his signed rookie cards. And I spent $80, which was mm-hmm. a lot at the time. I wish I had bought 80 at $80.
Yeah.
Because they're now $800 to $1,000 each. So I have one of those. Mm-hmm. I have a Michael Jordan card that I got in a trade with another black collector, which is rare because there's not that many black autograph mm-hmm. collectors. It's just not. It's just not something that most of us do, either for financial reasons or constraints or interest.
Yeah.
But I have a Michael Jordan card in a safety deposit box numbered out of 50 with a piece of an All-Star game jersey he wore and his signature. The signature is a sticker they had him sign, mm-hmm. and then they put him on the cards. So that's the difference between an on-card autograph and a sticker. That card used to the Beckett value, the little price guys.
Yeah.
Beckett is like the Bible for those. The last I remember, like a couple years ago, it was like a $600 card. I've had people offer me up to $3,000 for it because it's a picture of him in a Bulls uniform because he had a contract with Upper Deck. Upper Deck lost their license to make NBA cards. So it's one of the last cards you can see of him in a Bulls uniform mm-hmm. that is signed. And I wanted to sell it to get a bigger Michael Jordan piece to display for my wall, and I didn't. And then Upper Deck, apparently Michael Jordan, the word is he's no longer signing. So now all of Upper Deck's prices have doubled or tripled on Michael Jordan memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot afford it because, to put it in perspective, to get a Michael Jordan jersey, and you can look it up on Upper Deck's website, it's about 1 year of college at a okay school.
Oh, man. Yeah. So for a lot of people, it's just unattainable.
Yeah.
It's one thing if it was $3,000 because you're like, man, I could save $3,000, but
right.
but if it's like 50 G's, you're like,
right.
I'm never doing that.
Well, the average Jordan piece now is like between $3,000 and $10,000, but
yeah.
it's like, unless you're already rich, like if you're working like a regular job,
yeah,
I mean, you're gonna be, and then by the time you get that money, oh, price doubled again,
mm-hmm.
you know. So like, I have like a Jordan, I have Tom Brady,
mm-hmm.
I have a Joe DiMaggio, just different stuff. The three celebrities, the three autographs that I wish I could get in person, I have a LeBron piece, which
yeah.
I got lucky because Upper Deck had a Black Friday sale. But I the three people that I wish I could get, and I almost I feel a little like bad because they're all African-Americans like myself. But
mm-hmm. That's okay.
I would love if I could somehow one day get Jackie Robinson because – I mean, we know Jackie's been gone a while.
Yeah.
His last public appearance was in Cincinnati in 1972, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could get a Jackie Robinson ball, I would be ecstatic. It would never leave my possession. If I ever had kids one day, that'd be like, I'm passing this down to you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, okay. And then they go right to like Pawn Stars.
They play it in the Sandlot.
Right. But like Jackie Robinson would be one. Dwayne The Rock Johnson was just in Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know. And when I saw the stories, I was just like,
what was he there for?
He has a whiskey or a tequila coming out.
Okay.
So he was talking with like Kroger. But when I saw that The Rock was in town, like as a wrestling fan for one, and then I like his movie, mm-hmm. I was just like,
yeah.
Like I'm never going to get arrested chasing an autograph,
mm-hmm.
but I'd have been like from afar, like, Mr. Johnson. And I just saw people in Hawaii getting him at a golf tournament where he
mm-hmm.
would just chill. And they were, like, selling him. And I'm just like, if I could get Barack Obama somehow,
okay.
I would be through the moon. Now, there's other people that I want. But if you were, like, you get to, like, marry the girl of your dreams
mm-hmm.
or get the signature, I'd be like, you mean, like, long-term dreams or you mean, like, high school dreams?
What time's Barack's flight leave?
Right. Like, so, yeah, Obama.
Does he sign stuff?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't have, because there are people that go to all the political events,
mm-hmm.
all the campaign stops. Like I'm sure that Obama in 2008 was doing a tour near me, and I didn't think about it because I wasn't thinking about politicians.
Yeah.
But to this day, like I've been to the Bill Clinton Museum in Arkansas
because mm-hmm.
I was doing a comedy club down there, and I go to every tourist trap there is.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, like I'm not a fan of certain people, but I would probably go to the museum if nothing else.
Yeah, well,
but they had a Clinton Museum.
You're getting paid to travel, so you might as well
yep.
go enjoy it.
Bill Clinton baseballs. Bill Clinton's left-handed. Most presidents, you want them on the sweet spot between the seams.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who was the head at the, I was talking to her. Basically, she knew that people would want. She had him sign like 36 or whatever, a certain number, had him sign them on the sweet spot in ink because you don't want Sharpie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's left-handed, so he had trouble signing them or whatever. And she has him at like $700 or $800. And I'm like, I'm not a Clinton dude. But I was like, man, if I had $800 right now, I'd be like, hook me up with one of them baseballs.
It's also weird to be like somebody in their house is like, you want to see my Bill Clinton signed baseball?
Right.
Something that he's not even famous for?
But that's the other thing. They always say for celebrities, if you don't have anything else, get them on a baseball because baseball is the American game.
Yeah.
And that's the I keep a baseball in my glove box now because of something that happened 3 seasons ago when I was at a GameStop in my native Cincinnati, and it was not near downtown, and they had no reason to be down there. The Cubs are one of my favorite teams, as I've mentioned before. Jake Arrieta was at a GameStop 20 minutes from downtown buying a used Nintendo system. I guess he had something to play at the hotel, and I had nothing on me, and I was the only one that recognized him. There was like 4 people around, and then and I was like, so I didn't have anything, and then so when he came outside, I was just like, Mr. Arrieta, big fan, autograph collector, I don't have anything on me, I just want to say, you know, good luck and whatever else. And he was like, thanks, appreciate it. And I was like,
and you're like, oh God,
dude, like, I was sitting there, I was like, where, I was like,
so, can you sign this Madden 20
so, man, so I keep a baseball in my glove box now, and if one of my friends gives me a tip on somebody, because Joe Burrow was in Cincinnati recently and I saw it like an hour too late, I did show Washington, I love the city of Seattle, I'm a huge Mariners and Seahawks fan, I was in Washington State for the first time last March. Russell Wilson was at a gym opening, and my friend was like, he hit me up because he knew I was out there. He was like, yo, I was like, is he signing or whatever? Because it was 40 minutes across town. I didn't go. He signed.
Yeah.
It's and like, I'm just like, no.
It's a crapshoot of, oh, he's there? Is he signing? You know, and then you're like, ah, I don't, 40 minutes.
Yep. Because there's always a couple, because every collector has what they call their white whale. Mm-hmm. The term white whale, of course, comes from that book about the whale and your boy. Yeah.
Moby Dick, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so the idea of the white whale, here's the person that I can't get.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a white whale with either almost every baseball team or anybody that I've tried, every team I've tried to go after, there's like one guy where I'm just like, nope. Can't get it. And then you always have the other collectors. Oh, I got him 3 times. I got him 4. And they're just showing you, like, they got, there's a guy, and I know out in Baltimore with his son, every time somebody in sports does something, he's got a picture with him and his kid from when before they got famous and big. So now it's like gambling. I try to get everybody when they're a rookie because they're still nice and they haven't gotten jaded yet. They haven't had 40 to 55-year-old men hitting them up with a stanky book of old baseball cards in their face, trying to do such and such. They haven't gotten jaded by people outside the hotel yet. Minor league baseball is the best. It's the best. Even the number one draft picks, they're kind of like, all right, you know, I know it's part of the thing. Man, some of these dudes, the moment they get that modicum of success, it's like the comic that kept you out of the green room.
They just, yeah, it goes to their head.
Yep. But I've seen, but it goes both ways. Because I understand you're away from your family. You're in a different city every other week. You got 30 to 40 people out here, minimum.
Fighting.
Yeah. Half of them are going to keep it. Half of them, I've seen dudes trying to list stuff on eBay as the dude is still signing. So I get it.
Be respectful. The dude took his time.
Right, you know, and then but then some of the guys they'll like ruin your item or they'll sign it in a terrible spot.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, what? I signed. Like, I'm not gonna say who, Albert Pujols, but there was a recent event out in California. People paid like up to $200. He would not sign under logo balls because those are more valuable. And it's like,
man,
dude,
people
they're
are paying their money, man. That's
right.
Different.
You agreed to show up at the event. You said you agreed to the price.
Yeah. Well, you know. Let's wrap up.
No problem.
What your sneakers? What's the thing in your sneaker collection that you're if you're going to save in a fire?
Right now, I have a pair of sneakers that I am saving for one of 3 occasions. I'm hoping to record a 3rd album at some point. I already know the name for it. It has a it's a very simple name, but I would have a way to talk about it to explain the significance of the title. So if I'm able to record a knocking on wood, if I'm able to record a 3rd album. I will wear them when I record those. Or there's a comedy club in my home state that is that basically controls a large part of the industry when you're trying to move up the food chain. And if I got that audition, I would probably wear them on stage at that. Or if I got to headline my home comedy club where I started, because I would like, I think I'm going to say it out there on public airways. I think I have earned it. I think I've put in my work, and I think I've proven that I can go up and do a headlining show. If I get a chance to headline at my home club, hopefully when I'm recording that third album,
yeah,
I will be busting out my DS
oh.
Air Jordan 4s with the Nike Air logo on the back of the heel, not the Jumpman symbol. Mm-hmm. And I bought two pair of those because those are my favorite Air Jordans of all time. And I bought one pair that I knew I was going to wear into the ground. And then I have another pair that I've been holding.
Yeah.
And I will occasionally take them out of my closet, let them get some air so they can breathe, because sneakers are meant to be worn.
Take
so
the some material, pictures for the gram.
The material breaks down
yeah.
and things of that nature. If you don't let them get some space, leave them in a damp space or a humid space. So I'll take them out, let them breathe, look at them, and I'll be like, one day, baby,
mm-hmm.
one day.
toy-wise, what's your big thing that you like? As far as your collection, you got to save something in the fire.
Oh, I have a lot of signed action figures, and I like getting my action figures signed because it's a 3D representation of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two King Griffey Jr. McFarlane signed. I had the one that was the more common version when he was with the Reds,
mm-hmm.
and I had what they call the Chase, or the variant that wasn't as common when he was with the Mariners. He did a private signing about a year and a half ago. And when I got King Griffey Jr. in 1989 at his only public autograph signing, it was like $12 or $15 a signature.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what I know now, I would have spent about $500 and had him sign everything left and right, sort of a birth certificate, because mm-hmm. KG was my dude. And I would grab those two figures out of the fire before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of really good action figures signed. I have action figures signed, and other collectors would be like, why'd you get them on an action figure? Because I wanted it.
Yeah. Why can't I enjoy the thing
right.
that I want?
It's like, that's what I wanted on. Like, basketballs would take up 50,000 acres of space.
For sure.
Footballs. I was like, I wanted these, and these look cool to me. And guess what? Not that many people have them, so it's more unique for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it to resell it. I got it for me.
Some of your figures, do you take them out and let them breathe? Take them out of the
Lord,
box?
Lord, no.
No? Okay.
Oh, no. I'm what they call an MOC, Mint on Card Collector.
Mm-hmm.
I know that has two extra C's, but collector was assumed.
plug everything that you would like to plug.
So I write movie reviews. I used to work at a newspaper, which when I do college shows like this, I say it's like an iPad that you turn with your hands because they don't know. But you can go to McCoy, McCoy, on movies.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch my latest reviews. I usually write about one or two reviews a month minimum. My website is Tabari, T-A-B-A-R-I, because no one can spell it right, but Tabari McCoy, McCoy.com. You can see where I'm going to be performing. You can catch articles I've written because I'm also a journalist. I still write a lot of freelance articles because I'm not famous.
Yeah.
So you will see me out there with other autograph collectors. Yes. I'm out there hustling, baby. You know what I'm saying? So you can catch me on that. My Instagram, my Twitter, they're all at Tabari McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes hurts me with prospective job employers, but it is what it is now. So yes.
And you have two albums out.
Two albums on Pandora and Spotify. You can buy them from my website because that helps me out a lot. Hoping to work on the third one. Hopefully by the end of this year, I'd really love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can catch me on your internet or hopefully at a city near you. And folks, I don't know if comedians say this enough, but if you always ask us, when are you coming to this city? When are you coming to this city? Tell the venue that you want to see us at, because you're what gets us into seats.
Tag them in social media, send them an email.
Yes.
Because most of us don't have any industry
right.
representing ourselves. So if you want to see somebody, they'll listen, because the bottom of the
bottom
line
is
butts and seats. So if you want to see a certain comic at a venue, request them at that venue.
To put it in my old hip-hop terms, when I did MC battles, quit asking us, move your gluteus maximus. Get in the seats, we will show up.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Exactly.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
And thank you for having me here, and I hope that whatever you collect next will go well for you.